Good evening, everyone. I declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. Welcome to all councillors, staff and members of the public in attendance. We acknowledge the Kanyang people as the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. Please ensure that mobile phones are switched off or placed on silent for the duration of the meeting. This meeting will be audio recorded and made publicly available for public access on the Shire website. Members of the public are reminded that no other visual or audio recording of this meeting is allowed without the permission of the presiding member. Councillors are reminded to declare any conflict of interest as they arise in accordance with the Local Government Act 1995. We have all those in attendance that are listed on the agenda, with an apology from Jason Forsyth. You have a list of all the members of the public in attendance, Maggie?
Yes.
Thank you. 2.3, approve leave of absence. Councillor Ingalls has approved leaves of absence from the ordinary council meeting to be held in August 2026. Is there any request of leave of absence? No. Item 3.1, deputations. We have none. No petitions. No presentations. Item 4, public question time. Item 4.1, response to previous public questions taken on notice. We had a question from Andrew Ball. Later on in the briefing notes, it states that if a different accounting method was used in private practice, that the medical centre would operate at far less of a loss or indeed a small profit. Could you please explain what pixie dust would need to use this to turn last year's loss into a potential profit?
Through the Chair, the Local Government Act 1995 accounting standards are completely different to the private practice, and there are items that the Council has to account for in accounting terms that private practice does not have to.
Okay, thank you. 4.2, public question time. We have a number of questions from Karina Wilson. Karina, would you like to step up and ask the questions? Okay, I'll have the questions here. So you're happy if I just read the questions out? Yes, yep, okay. So question one, what legal review was undertaken of the guest stay policy and the vacation notices before they were issued, given that they cite an act that does not apply to these residents and impose a notice period the Residential Parks Act does not permit?
Through the Chair, Council's decision was based on operational purpose of the flexible caravan park as a short-term visitor accommodation facility. The Council report expressly states that the primary purpose of the caravan park is to provide short-term accommodation for tourists and travellers. The caravan park is not intended or approved for permanent residential occupation. The policy was introduced to formalise stay limits and ensure the park continues to operate as a visitor's accommodation facility. Council was therefore considering management of a tourism facility rather than recognising the park as a long-term residential park.
Thank you. Question two, has any affected resident been given an individual notice identifying a specific breach and an opportunity to remedy it? If not, what lawful grounds is a resident who is paid up and compliant being required to vacate?
Through the Chair, the policy was not supported as a disciplinary mechanism or a breach enforcement process. Rather, it was supported to assist CMCA to establish consistent occupancy limits for all guests and to return the park to its intended tourism and visitor accommodation purposes. The report identifies broad operational concerns, including long-term occupancy pressures, reduced site availability for tourists, site presentation concerns, management difficulties and pressure on volunteer custodians. The 21-day notice was therefore part of implementing a new occupancy policy across the park rather than pursuing individual compliance action against specific residents.
Question three, by what instrument, council resolution, delegation or the management agreement did CMCA acquire authority to issue these notices and to author a policy governing the termination of a long stay tenancies at the Shire owned park?
Through the chair, the facility is managed and operated by Campervan and Motorhome Club of Australia Limited, that's being the CMCA. Council formally resolved to support the implementation of the CMCA Parks Guest Stay Policy and Associated Essential Workers Process. Accordingly, Council supported the policy framework and CMCA was acting as the contract manager of the facility in implementing their policy supported by Council.
Question four, did the Shire obtain independent legal advice on the policy and the notices before they were issued? And if so, will Council release it?
Through the chair, Council is generally not obliged to disclose privileged legal advice. If legal advice was obtained, it would be protected by legal professional privilege.
Question five, were members advised before voting that the Residential Tenancy Act 1987 does not govern these residents, that the Residential Act Parts Act 2006 does, that the minimum notice is 60 or 180 days rather than 21, and that CMCA's authority to issue the notices was unconfirmed?
Through the chair, the report presented to Council clearly disclosed the purpose of the policy, the proposed 3-month stay limit, the proposed 21-day transition period, the essential worker exemption process, the operational reasons for the policy, and the reference to the Residential Parks Act 2006. Council's role was to determine whether the policy should be supported based on the information presented in the report.
Question six, on what basis did the Shire treat an ongoing review as a reason to act inconsistently with the Act currently in force and to impose a vacation the Act does not permit?
Through the chair, the report does not state that the review justified disregarding existing legislation. Rather, it notes that a statutory review was underway while separately identifying operational challenges that prompted consideration of stay limits. The policy decision was justified in the report on operational, tourism and accommodation management grounds rather than because of the legislative review itself.
Question seven, on what legal basis does the CMCA require residents to apply for permission to exercise a statutory right, and did the Shire obtain advice that this mechanism is consistent with the Act?
Through the chair, the essential worker process was intended as an exemption mechanism rather than a replacement of statutory rights. Council specifically supported the CMCA Parks Essential Worker Extended Stay application process and authorised the CEO and the CMCA manager to assess applications. The report states that the purpose was to balance the operational intent of the caravan park, tourism objectives and accommodation needs of essential workers.
Question eight, does the Shire accept that changing the permitted use of lot 336 requires a formal scheme amendment with the WAPC approval and public advertising? And if so, on what basis does the policy purport to change that use by notice?
Through the chair, the Shire does not accept that the implementation of the CMCA guest stay policy changes the approved land use of lot 336. The land is zoned special use under the applicable local planning scheme. The permitted uses for the site include caravan park, camping ground, holiday accommodation and recreation private. The CMCA guest stay policy does not seek to amend the local planning scheme, change the zoning of the land or alter the approved use of the site. The policy was developed by CMCA as the Shire's contracted management agent to assist in managing the Flaxmoor Caravan Park in accordance with its intended function as a caravan park and visitors accommodation facility. The policy relates to the operational management of the caravan park, including occupancy arrangements and the length of stay, and was introduced in response to operational concerns identified by CMCA regarding increasing long-term occupancy, site availability, visitor access, park presentation and management pressure. There's no change to the planning scheme. Zoning or approved land use is proposed. The Shire has not commenced, nor does it consider necessary, a scheme amendment process in relation to the guest stay policy.
Question 9. When was the master plan commissioned and by whom and at what cost? Has it been considered in closed session and on what date? And why has it not been disclosed to the community?
Through the Chair, Council requested the preparation of a preliminary master plan for the Flaxmoor Caravan Park as part of its ongoing strategic planning for the facility and to assist in identifying future improvement opportunities and potential grant funding applications. As part of the early planning process, consultation is required to be undertaken with the Wagal Kayap Southern Noongar Aboriginal Corporation in recognition of its role as the relevant Aboriginal representative body and to ensure any future concepts appropriately consider Aboriginal heritage and cultural matters. The master plan remains a preliminary planning document and has not been presented for endorsement by Council. Once the document has been endorsed by Council, community consultation will be undertaken.
Question 10. Has the Shire modelled the net financial impact of removing this income and what justifies it against the recorded shortfall?
Through the Chair, the implementation of the CMCA guest stay policy was not driven by revenue considerations and no specific financial modelling was undertaken regarding individual long-term occupants. The policy was proposed by CMCA as the park's management agent to address operational issues associated with extended occupancy and to ensure the facility continued to operate in accordance with its intended purpose as a caravan park and visitor accommodation facility. Council's consideration of the policy was based on a range of factors identified in the report, including maintaining site availability for visitors, supporting tourism outcomes, addressing operational and compliance risk, improving management consistency, and preserving the long-term sustainability of the facility. The policy does not alter the approved use of the caravan park and was supported as a measure to increase or decrease revenue. Council acknowledges that occupancy patterns may change over time. However, the primary consideration was the effective management of the caravan park in accordance with its intended operational purpose.
Thank you. Are there any more questions from the public? Could you step up to the microphone and state your name, please?
Now I've completely forgotten. I just really have one question on top of all the others. Thank you for publishing all 10. I wasn't expecting that. Given that the CMCA guest stay policy appears to put the CMCA in breach of clause 5.2 of its management agreement with the Shire, which requires the CMCA to comply with all relevant legislation and is built on the wrong act, it states the wrong act in the policy itself, in the document, it states the wrong act, basically. Will Council rescind resolution CM2605117 in its entirety and suspend the notices? That's it. Thank you.
Through the Chair, we'll take that on notice.
Thank you. Was there any other questions?
Good evening. My question is Roland and Park Farms. As the council is aware, Eric Farley gave the farm to the Boyabrook Shire community as a training and research farm. The original committee ran the farm very efficiently with a $100,000 a year profit in the bank. There's a lot of rumours going around the district. I've had over 19 ratepayer farmers speaking to me about it. What we'd like to know is, what is the council going to do with Rawnton Park in the future? Because the way it was run, I believe, and what I saw from the road.
Excuse me, your question is, what is the council going to do with Rylington Park?
Rylington Park.
Yep.
Because if you employ a working manager, it's no, that farm could gross $600,000 a year.
Question. It's a
question. Question is, what is the council doing with Rylington Park?
Through the chair, it is public information on the website if you'd like to get the full report. In essence, what council intends or has approved is to lease the majority of the farm out to whichever private individual applies through a tender process. There's a portion of the farm that will be leased out to a community group, also through a tender process for community cropping. And then there's the educational side of the farm that remains in control of council.
Well, everyone I spoke to said, why hasn't the council organised a meeting and got the community?
There was community on the Rylington Park Committee. There was community members on that represented the community.
I mean, the ratepayers, like, we have a meeting in the town hall and get everyone's view.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for, because there's a lot of stuff with Rylington Park. Since the original committee was stepped down or asked to step down.
Sorry, did you have another question?
Well, is the Shire going to conduct a meeting of all ratepayers in the town hall to discuss this and get everyone's view? Because it was left to the community of Boyer Brook. So they should have a say on what the future is for Rylington Park.
That's something that council can consider. We can consider that, can't we, as a council?
Through the chair, it's got to come through an electors' meeting and a request through the electors' meeting to council, and then council can consider whether or not to hold a meeting to consider that request, but it's not obliged to have to do that.
Okay.
Okay, then, if it has to come to that, we'll follow it up. But condition of the sheep last year was absolutely disgrace.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions?
I do actually have a question about that.
You need to get up to the microphone. Thank you, Karina.
I was unable to find any details about what the plans for Rylington Park are at all. Can you tell me where to find them? That's my question.
Yeah, there was a council resolution. Do you have that information?
Through the chair, ordinary council meeting date to 26th of February 2026. It was item 10.4.8. To make it easier for you, Karina, I'll give you a copy of the resolution, yeah?
It's all right. I can find it here. Thanks. It's fine.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Does anyone else have any questions? No? Okay. Move on to item 5, declarations of interest. No declarations of interest. Thank you. Previous council minutes. 6.1, ordinary council meeting. We have an officer recommendation there to confirm the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 28th of May 2026 as a true and accurate record. Could I have a mover for that, please? Councillor Moore, seconded Councillor Ingalls. All those in favour? Carried. 6.2, special council meeting, 10th of June. Officer recommendation reads that the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 10th of June 2026 be confirmed as a true and accurate record. Could I have a mover for that, please? Councillor King moved, moved to Councillor King, seconded Councillor Ingalls. All those in favour? Carried. Item 7, presidential communications. So it was with sadness that I acknowledged the passing of Audrey Hales. Her funeral was held on the 30th of May. Audrey was a long-time resident of Boyart Brook and involved in many community groups. Sincere condolences are extended to her husband, Curtis Hales, and her family. So I attended the special council meeting where two items were considered at the special council meeting. The Boyart Brooks swimming pool, council approved the transfer of funds from the reserve accounts to facilitate urgent leak repairs and repainting works at the swimming pool. Quotations for contractors are due by the 10th of July, with works expected to commence in the first week of August and be completed by the first week of September, of course subject to contractor availability. And the Boyart Brook Medical Services, Council supported in principle the sale or transfer of the medical services practice to a suitably qualified and experienced medical practitioner or medical practice operator. While a doctor had previously expressed interest in taking over the practice, she has since withdrawn her interest due to personal reasons. The Shire remains committed to continuing the management of the Boyart Brook Medical Services and is actively working to attract another doctor to the community. I also attended the BFAC meeting with the appointment of the BFAC officers and the fire control officers. Sorry, the BFAC meeting is the Bushfire Advisory Committee, and the Warren Blackwood Alliance of Councils committee meeting. The items for discussion included the future focus of the Warren Blackwood Alliance of Councils, regional trails strategy progress, update of the Southern Forest and Valleys tourism project, and the Warren Blackwood Alliance of Councils are continuing to advocate for a solution to the FBC rates issue. I also attended the South West Country Zone meeting in Collie, and a range of issues affecting local governments across the region were discussed. Thank you. reports by elected members. Does any of the elected members have anything to report? Councillor Hack.
Madam Chair, I've attended the photography exhibition at the CRC, which was wonderful. I've also had a tour of the medical centre by Sarah Alexander. She had invited me at that last meeting. And also I'd like to talk about the Lightning Sports Carnival, which was hosted in Boyart Brook on Friday the 19th. It was for years 3 to 6 from the following schools: Boyart Brook District High School, St Mary's, Bridgetown Primary, St Bridget's, Kirrup, Bailingup and Greenbushes. It was attended by a huge crowd of supporters from these communities and put our playing fields and courts on display for footy, soccer and netball. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any of the rest of the councillors? Councillor? Right.
Yep.
Thank you.
I haven't attended anything, but I am still on the Rollington Park Committee.
Yeah.
And put my hand up for the, well, the ECU has a memorandum of understanding with the Rollington Park Farm. And they are now running a project called the Sheep Industry Pivot Project. And so I am on that. There's 9 of us and we're having our first meeting the end of next month. There's 7 meetings over 18 months. They got $500,000 funding from the federal government to look into other ways to value add sheep, and not just the meat but all the other things that go along in an abattoir, and looking at other countries and how they operate and deal with sheep. So I'm actually really excited about this, and so hopefully over the next 18 months we can come up with some pretty good ideas.
Thank you. Item 9, councillor questions on notice. We have none. Item 10, reports of officers. 10.1, operational services, nil. 10.2, community services, nil. 10.3, financial services. 10.3.1, list of accounts paid in May 2026. We'll take the officer recommendation as read. Do I have a move for that motion, please? Councillor Ingalls, Seconded Councillor King. Is there any questions regarding this item? Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Ten point three point two, monthly statement of financial activity for the period ending 31st of May 2026. We'll take the officer recommendation as read. Do I have a move for that recommendation, please? Councillor King, seconded Councillor Matthews. All those in favour? Carried. Ten point four point one, Boyart Brook Caravan Park monthly report for May 2026. The officer recommendation is to receive that report. Could I have a mover for that, please? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Ingalls. Is there any questions regarding that? Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Ten point four point two, long-term financial plan 2026-27 to 2035-36. The officer recommendation that council adopt the long-term financial plan. Could I have a mover for that, please? Councillor Ingalls, seconded Councillor Hack. Is there any questions regarding the plan? I do have a question, Mr. CEO. Item 8.3.7, type and ranges of services. I think there's just a little bit of a definition problem in that. It says that it states something that is further on down in the plan, but it doesn't actually state that. If we could just have that looked at and corrected, please.
Through the chair, we will have a look at that and make the necessary changes.
Okay.
I believe the changes have already been made.
Okay. Thank you. I did send that to you earlier so that you could investigate that. Thank you. And also, we do have independent living units on our radar. I think that there should be some line item in there so it is acknowledged that it is part of the plan for the future.
Through the chair, we have included that as a line item now. It won't have a monetary figure next to it until we've actually done further investigations on what the potential cost is, but to capture it in the long-term plan, it has been added in.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now, no one had any other questions? Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. 10.4.3, Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee, appointment of independent members. We have the officer recommendation to appoint two independent members, one as the presiding member and one as the deputy presiding member. And also note that council decision CM 2510-200, all councillors are appointed to the Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee.
Through the chair, could I just suggest one amendment to number three, just to add at the end there, including newly elected councillors Hack and Matthews?
Yes, thank you. Seeing as they weren't at that meeting or weren't on council then, that's good. Could I have a mover for that motion, please? Councillor King, seconded Councillor Matthews. Okay. So I'm assuming that you've all read the applicants. Could someone have a suggest who they would like as the presiding member? Councillor Matthews. Sorry.
Just that with the current previous president, being more sort of aware of the current situation, I was favouring him as the presiding president.
Okay. Richard Walker?
Richard Walker.
Richard Walker, yep. Councillor Ingalls?
Richard Walker, yes.
Okay. Councillor Moore?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Richard should be the presiding member.
Okay, so Richard Walker as the presiding member and Alan Lamb as the deputy presiding member. So the mover and seconder are happy with that? Yep. Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. .4.4, privacy and responsible information sharing policies. We'll take the officer recommendation as read to endorse the policies and note the information breach response plan and authorise the CEO to publish the endorsed policies on the Shire website. And note that these policies and procedures will be subject to ongoing monitoring compliance review with formal review to occur at least every 3 years or earlier if required by legislative or operational changes. Could I have a mover for that, please? Councillor Ingalls, seconded Councillor King. Is there any questions regarding these policies? Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. .4.5, Rylington Park, New Reserve Fund, Ryling Reserves Fund and Proposed Budget Amendment. We'll take the officer recommendation as read. Do I have a mover for that motion, please? Councillor Ingalls, seconded Councillor King. Does anyone have any questions regarding this motion? Okay. Would you like to speak to the motion, Councillor Ingalls?
We're doing what we said we were going to do, and anything that is like the sheep and the livestock that get transferred from the, get sold from the farm will be going into reserve so that we can reset. So in 10 or 15 years' time, if the Social Council at the time decides they can run the farm, then there'll be a set-up fund there from all the livestock that's sold and machinery to help reinstate the farm if continued in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor King, would you like to speak?
Yeah, I agree with Councillor Ingalls. I think it's become economically unviable for the council due to legislative requirements. So I think it's the smart act to do this. And I think down the track, another council may find a way to do it. So I think it's important we make sure there's funds available for that now.
Thank you. Speakers against? Any speakers for? Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. .10.5, Chief Executive Officer. .10.5.1, Shire co-contribution towards funding for the airstrip upgrade. Have the officer recommendation to approve the Shire co-contribution of $42,500 required by the Department of Transport for the upgrade of the Whitebrook Caravan Park. And the other two items I'll take as read. Do I have a move for that motion, please? Councillor Ingalls, seconded. Councillor, am I wrong?
Can you please reread that?
Oh, did I say caravan park? Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry. Approve the Shire coach contribution of $42,500 for upgrades to the Boyart Brook airstrip. plus the two other points. Mover for that? Councillor Ingalls. Seconder, Councillor King. Is there any questions regarding this? Would the mover like to speak to that motion?
I just think it's important these assets like this need to be kept upgraded for, because you never know what's going to happen in the future. We've got an airstrip, we need to keep it maintained for mainly accidents and emergency, and there seems to be a high volume of privately owned planes around at the moment, so it's essential, one of the things to maintain, I think.
Great. Would you like to speak to the motion, Councillor King?
Now, although RFDS are using their helicopter a lot more, I think there's times when fixed wing is more available, so I think it's important that we make sure that that strip's still available for those transports.
Speakers against? Speakers for?
I actually think it's really healthy I think it's really healthy to have an airport that's functionally and compliant, and especially so close to the other airports and the diversion.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to the motion? Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. .5.2 Grants Report for June 2026. The officer recommendation is that Council receives the monthly grants report for 2026. Do I have a mover for that, please? Councillor King, seconded Councillor Wright. Is there any questions regarding this report? Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. .5.3 Establishment of a Medical Services Governance Committee. The officer recommendation is to establish a Medical Services Governance Committee pursuant to Section 5.8 of the Local Government Act 1995, to adopt the terms of the committee terms of reference and to appoint two councillors to this committee. Authorise the CEO to undertake public expressions of interest process seeking nominations from community members for appointment to the committee. Require the expressions of interest advertisement to be publicly advertised for a minimum period of 30 days. Receive a subsequent report following the close of nominations recommending the appointment of two community representatives to the committee. Note that voting rights shall be restricted to the Shire President, two councillors and two community representatives appointed by council, and require that prior to the commencement of any medical service, the discontinuation of an existing medical service or any material change to the level, scope or nature of medical services provided by the Boyatbrook Medical Services that may impact the community, the proposal must first be considered and approved by the Medical Services Governance Committee. And .9, note that any proposal requiring expenditure outside adopted budgets, budget amendments, contractual commitments, policy amendments, or any other approval reserved to Council shall be referred to Council for determination before implementation. If I could just have a mover for that motion, please. Councillor King, seconded Councillor Matthews. And now we need two councillors that are happy to be on this committee. Councillor Moore.
I would like to nominate Councillor Hack if she will take on the position, given her long-standing dedication to the medical profession in the community. I think she'd be an ideal candidate.
Thank you. Councillor Hack, would you accept that?
Yes.
Thank you.
I accept.
Is there anyone else that would like to be on this committee?
I did nominate myself due to the proximity and availability. I thought that might be less of an impact on other councillors.
Okay. So appoint the Shire President as Chair and Councillor Hack and Councillor Matthews as Council representatives on the committee. Everyone's happy with that? Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Boyatt Brook Medical Services Monthly Activity Report for May 2026. The officer recommendation is that council receives this report. Could I have a mover for that, please? Councillor Moore, seconder Councillor Ingalls. Any questions regarding this report? Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Establishment of an independent living unit development committee. The officer recommendation reads that council establish an independent living unit development committee pursuant to section 5.8 of the Local Government Act 1995, adopt the independent living unit development committee terms of reference as attached to this report, appoint three councillors as council representatives on the committee and the Shire President, authorise the Chief Executive Officer to undertake a public expression of interest process seeking nominations from community members for appointment to the committee, require the expression of interest advertisement to be publicly advertised for a minimum period of 30 days, receive a subsequent report following the close of nominations recommending the appointment of three community representatives to the committee. Note that the committee will act in advisory capacity only and will not have delegated authority to make decisions on behalf of the council. Do I have a mover for that motion, please? Councillor King, seconded Councillor Ingalls. So I need three councillors to nominate for this committee. Councillor Ingalls, thank you. Councillor King. Any other takers? Councillor Moore? Okay. So Councillor Ingalls, Councillor King and Councillor Moore. Is everyone happy with that decision? Okay. Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Planning. 10.6.1, development application advertisements, lot 53, Boyatt Brook, Arthur Road, Dinanup. We'll take the officer recommendation as read. Do I have a mover for this motion, please? Councillor Ingalls, seconded Councillor Moore. Is there any questions regarding this item? No. Would you like to speak to the motion, Councillor Ingalls?
Really have anything to say about it, but yeah, sounds like they've got it all worked out there. So.
Councillor Moore?
I think it's just a minor improvement to the appearance of the showgrounds, which is a good move.
Thank you. Speakers against? Any other speakers for? Put the motion. All those in favour? Oh, I'm sorry, Councillor Wright, sorry.
Yeah, I'll speak for the motion. It's important that we try and keep that show going. It's up to its 106th year and a bit of improvement in the outer boundaries of it. It'll make it look a lot more attractive.
Yes, and I do believe this is part of the sponsorship package that the show is offering. So, yes, let's hope that they're successful with that. Okay, put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Item 11, Minutes of Committees, 11.1, Local Emergency Management Advisory Committee Meeting Minutes, 6th of May 2026. The officer recommendation is that Council receives the unconfirmed minutes of this meeting. Do I have a mover for that, please? Councillor King, seconded Councillor Moore. Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. 11.2, Bushfire Advisory Committee Meeting Minutes, 10th of June 2026. The officer recommendation reads that Council received these unconfirmed minutes. Could I have a move for that motion, please? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Ingalls. Put the motion. All those in favour? Carried. Item 12, we have no motions of which previous notice has been given. We have no late items, urgent business matters, and no confidential items. So therefore, I declare the meeting closed at 6:46 p.m. Thank you all for attending. Mm-hmm.